Welcome back, folks. We're here again with you, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had another fantastic weekend. We had a good time down here, went swimming, cut down the heat. It is very warm. The other day, somebody said, I think with the heat index factor and the humidity, it was like felt like it was 111.
Well,
we're only in June.
We've had the hottest summer so far. The problem with this is it's really pushing the Gulf temperatures up.
Yeah.
And so there's a really good probability we have a lot of hurricanes this year.
We don't like those.
The last time when I'm walking around my backyard, I'm knee-deep in water, I'm thinking to myself, this is great.
You hear that tornado spin up across the lake?
No, then it floods into the back of my home office, and then I have to caulk the door shut. And put sandbags.
We did do that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and then we got a doggone shop vac because the water seeps it under the doggone.
Well, now we're replacing all the carpet in the studio here now.
Yeah,
going to be a next project, which that shouldn't interfere too much with the show.
If you guys want to set a donation for our moldy smelling carpet, it would be great.
we're really stripping.
We had to run ionizers in here all weekend.
Yeah,
so now we're dealing with ozone in here this morning. I came here sneezing this morning.
Anyways, hope you guys are having a good Monday. It's going to be one of those shows.
Good morning.
I just flipped on YouTube, so I'm going to log into that in a second here. We'll go live on there. Everybody can add in their thoughts, opinions, ask any health questions. I'll answer them as I can throughout the show. I can't make any promises on it, but you know I'll get to it, and I'll cover some stuff.
The problem is the carpet in here has been here for 33 years.
We're back on the carpet.
No, it's 33 years. You know, it doesn't look bad because, you know, it's commercial grade.
It's time to go. Yeah, it's gotten flooded in here.
It has hurricanes several times.
Yeah, several times.
So it's just,
anyways.
Hey, last year in my home office, we had to basically change out that and put tile in there because of flooding. Yeah, Florida, gators, water moccasins, and flooding. It's great.
We're here.
And we don't even live on the coast. Hey, those guys get those 15-foot storm surges.
Fort Myers a couple years back.
Oh, my gosh.
That was nuts. But I would cover this right now before, though. You guys know product of the week. You voted it, won the multiple capsules. Popular product, capsule form of the powder, Ultimate Multiple Powder, which is actually winning product of the week, ironically enough. I don't know how those two got back-to-back. I checked it earlier, and you guys just like nonstop voted on it.
Whoa. How'd you end up doing that 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. It rotated into it, and I guess everybody decided they wanted powder too next.
I guess everybody likes the Ultimate Multiple Powder.
Imagine that.
I mean, look at alpha lipoic acid.
Cortisol bust. That's one of my favorite products.
5-HTP, great for the brain.
Yeah, 4%. These are all top rated products. You pull them up in the bestsellers up here. They're all, I mean, they all have huge ratings on it. But I mean, then again, you get the Ultimate Multiple Powder.
Well, the Ultimate Powder is just it's
42.
By
yeah, and it's got. Like I mean, that. The reviews are just nonstop on it. I mean, so it's.
Well, it's the one that you feel within 30 minutes.
I get that response from a lot of people. I've had so many people ask me if we put like purple sticks or green tea extract in. I said, no, there's none of that. It's just an unbelievably high dose of methylated B vitamins.
And it's easy to absorb because it's powder.
The absorption rate on it's almost, I mean, I would say within minutes, honestly.
If you take it like with purple sticks in the morning and basically eat an egg,
yeah.
it's like within
minutes.
It
gets you quick.
I don't like taking any kind of vitamin like that on an empty stomach.
No, it's always best. People ask that question a lot, too, as far as with supplementation. It is always recommended to take your sups with a protein shake or with food or the eggs or something. It helps aid the absorption. Plus, if you take
three or four
scoops of this stuff on an empty stomach,
it'll get you racked up.
Yeah,
quick.
Sometimes it'll hit you fast, man, real fast.
I don't recommend that.
Always take your sups with food. Usually, like I said, I always kind of have breakfast sups and then lunch, and I'll usually take some before bed after eating my eggs. So kind of break them up throughout the day. Because remember, your body has only so many receptors, too. I mean, you take everything you're going to take all day at one time, first thing in the morning. A lot of times you need to space some of the stuff out.
Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. It's talking about drug use globally. And it said 1 in 16 people worldwide now use drugs. That's hundreds of millions. That's hundreds and hundreds of millions all over the world. And, you know, when I saw that, it was a United Nations report. And it says that marijuana is one of the primary ones. You think, well, that's not bad. Everybody likes to smoke pot. Well, no, not everybody likes to smoke pot, but a lot of people do smoke pot. And it's become legal in a lot of states now. And I know people that actually moved to Colorado way back when so they could sit there and
stay
stoned. You do what?
I do, too. I remember when people moved out to Colorado.
I thought I do, too. You like to smoke pot. That was awful.
No.
I'm like, whoa, Austin, let's clarify that.
No, I tried some when I was in college. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. You know, I mean, I've used gummies too in the past when I tried it back then. But the thing about it is, I never liked the fact, oh, you want to sleep and eat.
It takes your motivation away.
It really does. I mean, and I got guys that had PTSD, guys that basically that I know that still use it occasionally, and they use it for therapy. And I'm like, whatever. The biggest thing is, man, kids don't need to be smoking it at all, period. Absolutely does arrested brain development, man. You can't function young term on it. You don't grow. You don't develop. You kind of stay in the same phase, and you lose all motivational aspects of growth, goals. I've watched it happen to a lot of people I knew when I was younger, and they just 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, just never came off of it, and they don't really ever do much.
They live in their parents' basement.
Yeah. Or they live with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. They work a couple days a week, but they're happy with
but
that.
But remember, the entities that run the planet, they don't want you to be sober. They want you to be on drugs or alcohol, or they want you to be
They want you to be distracted.
Yeah.
They want your frequency to be off.
The term pharmakia appears in several Bible verses, notably in Galatians in 5:20, where it is translated as sorcery. And Revelation 18:23, which states, by their sorcery, all nations were deceived. Galatians 5:20 says idolatry and sorcery are all part of this. And it says that verse lists the acts of the flesh that are contrary to the fruit of the spirit, indicating that sorcery is viewed negatively. Which obviously, Revelation 18:23, by your sorcery, all nations were deceived. Context of the verse warns by deceptive practices in Babylon and today, suggesting that sorcery leads to widespread deception among nations. And you always ask yourself a question, how in the world do they get these people to walk up to a sacrificial stone and have their hearts cut out voluntarily?
Had to be probably pretty heavily medicated.
Yeah.
You've got to be on some drugs to go along with that. No normal sober person is going to just go do that.
How in the world did the Russians get people to walk up to ditches in World War II and just sit there and be mowed down with machine guns and nobody fought back?
You just watched the first round of guys get mowed down and dropped in a hole.
Because first of all, they don't want to carry the bodies. That's why they do it. They don't want to deal with that. So they just drug them. And they voluntarily walk over there. We're going to give you, you know, a free bowl of soup. Go stand there. When you're looking at, you don't even realize what's going on. And the light of the lamp will shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all nations were deceived. Revelation 18:23. And it's basically a form of witchcraft in the Bible. The term derived from the Greek word pharmakeion, which refers to drugs or medication, holds negative connotations after connecting with practices intended to deceive or lead people away from the paths of righteousness and our Christian faith. Seeking the true source of healing and guidance becomes paramount. And advices reflect on our choices, but the Bible says that we're being completely and totally wiped out because of drugs, sorcery, idolatry, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies in Galatians 5:20. And it says, but there was a certain man called Simon who privily practiced sorcery in the city. In Acts chapter 8 through 9, it talks about it there. And it says, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts in Revelation 9:21. And this is all part of the sacrificial network group that Jeffrey Epstein worked with, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that to you again. And they're involved in drugs and drugging these girls and all the other stuff that they do. And it's really, really, really messed up to the point of, like, not really wanting to talk about it on a podcast. In fact, I'm going to drop the story right now. But it's saying that 1 in 16 people in the world now are addicted to these drugs. And quite frankly, it's higher than that. Well, I don't believe it's 1 in 16.
They've taken another level on top of just drugs as far as with RNA gene therapy. Mm-hmm. That's been the next phase. It's crazy now. The COVID-19 jab study that was originally blocked from the CDC journal because it basically showed that the shot was completely ineffective. They've now come out and republished it. This is really interesting. The paper co-authored by the CDC and blocked from the CDC's quasi-journal has now been republished by the Journal of American Medical Association. The research with the CDC and other institutions in the paper published on June 23rd estimated that the COVID jab was 55% effective against hospitalizations related to COVID-19 and 50% effective against COVID-19 associated emergency department urgent care visits. The problem with this study is it was completely bogus on trying to find these studies. So the way they actually did it, it took people who went to the emergency room in urgent care and basically this time period, separated them two groups, then looked at basically who tested positive for COVID and who had received the jab and tested positive for COVID. It was total bogus. there was no definitive answer, and nothing about it was even remotely clinically like significant.
Unbelievable.
It was stupid. Like, oh, well, they had the shot and they went to the hospital and they tested positive, but they had didn't have the shot and they tested positive. This was all based, again, around the PCR test, which if you guys remember, that whole thing was a one big giant scam. I personally knew people that had zero symptoms and continually tested positive over and over and over again, sometimes for weeks.
They even said it wasn't a reliable test.
They said it wasn't reliable. And what they did was they made the threshold, they turned it up to 40, if I'm not mistaken, it was 40 cycles or 40x times cycles when they tested it. And you could make almost anything test positive for COVID. There's the one video that surfaced that got pretty much shut down really quick.
Kind of like all of our millions of videos.
Yeah, that's why I try to tread. Yeah. But he was in Parliament over in Europe, and he took out of the wrapper a brand new PCR test that they basically had at the doctor's office or the hospital or the stores, opened it up front everybody, opened up a can of Coca-Cola. That was the brand name, not picking on us what it was. And he literally did a quick PCR test on it, and the PCR test tested positive for Coca-Cola, or for COVID, in the Coke. In front of everybody. Everybody's like, oh, it was a defunct PCR test. Okay, well, if it's a defunct PCR test, how many of the other ones are defunct and that you're using on the general population is saying you're positive?
Well, no, that was not a one-time occurrence, Austin.
That's my point.
They were testing grapefruit and fruit and everything else.
That's what I'm saying. And so this entire clinical study that they now published, the American Medical Association, on why this shot is so safe and effective, literally went on the basis of who had a PCR test that was positive or not when they went to the hospital. It's complete and total joke. And then you go back to, and this is why I really, really want them to run Fauci through the ringer, even though he's probably going to plead the fifth, like Dad said. The reason why Rand Paul is going so far after them, and I pulled this up the other day, and this was interesting. This was actually the reference from the Courthouse News Service in April 24th, 2020. This was out and published, and everybody talked about it because quietly, while everybody was locked down in April, this rolled out, and this goes down to Remdesivir. And I'm not going to spend a long time on this on Monday, but I looked at this, and this is interesting. This was the headlines, guys. I want you to look at this. This was the article that I found it, got it back up. Experimental virus drug Remdesivir fails in human trial. Look at the date on this, guys. This is April 24th, 2020, right? The end of April is when Remdesivir got fully approved and was now the new standard of care in every hospital across the country. Right? So I'll read it here real quickly. It says experimental coronavirus treatment Remdesivir has failed its first randomized clinical trial. The inadvertently released results showed Thursday, dampening expectations for the closely watched drug that completely failed. This is what the article is saying here. And it goes into detail that essentially there were like 237 patients. Remdesivir had to be stopped early in 18 patients because the side effects were so severe the drug was killing them. It says right here. Then it says the author says Remdesivir was not associated with a difference in time clinical improvement. In fact, it's right here. I want you guys to see this. Right at the top. After a month, put me on camera four, 13.9% of the patients on Remdesivir had died compared to 12.8% of those in the control group. The difference is not statistically significant, meaning it wasn't even remotely close to being a positive clinical trial. More people died in Remdesivir than people that died in the control group. Okay, so normally any other drug, this would have been shelved so fast. Anything. It would have been like, we're not even, this isn't even fit for human trials anymore. The drug death is higher than the placebo group. We're pulling the trial. Here's 4 days later. Fauci, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease director, said today, look at the date on this, guys. This is April 29, 2020. This is 5 days after that other article was published. He showed that Gilead's investigational antiviral Remdesivir, and I quote, has a clear-cut significant positive effect in diminishing time to recovery for patients with COVID-19. This will be the standard of care. Fauci, a White House advisor in the pandemic, said during comments from the Oval Office. He said they have not yet been peer-reviewed, but the drug can block the virus.
Peer-reviewed. Have not yet been peer-reviewed. That means nobody's looked at the research.
Nobody looked at it, because when they looked at it, they said after a month, 13% of the patients on Remdesivir died compared to 12.8% of the control group. It was a complete lie that this drug ever even was remotely thought about being approved.
Now, what they also did with the control group, remember this, they wanted as many people to die as possible to offset the statistical analysis.
Right. So that number's already skewed.
That's right.
Guarantee you it was already skewed.
Well, they picked the people in the control group that are like on the death's door.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, great. That way, when they die, the other stuff kills them. It won't matter, you know?
But I want to show everybody that, to show you what a lying sack of garbage that man is. April 24th, this comes out and says, fails human trials. 5 days later, this man says, this will be the standard of care. So when you hear me reference that, I had people email me this, they're like, well, I don't remember that happened. You got to remember, that was April 2020. Everybody was discombobulated. Everything was shut down that month. That's the first month they went to full lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Under the quietness of lockdowns, you can't work because you're not essential. We're approving a drug that literally failed the clinical trials because more people died in the control group or died in the remdesivir group.
It failed in the clinical trials with Ebola.
Everywhere.
Ebola, too.
In 2017, it failed the clinical trials with Congo.
And then, let me say something real quick about the peer review stuff. This is very important. Remember that one movie, Don't Look Up?
Yes.
Remember? And this businessman who said he had 40 million data points, whatever, on Leonardo DiCaprio, that he was just a whatever, he basically said, Leonardo DiCaprio said, look, we haven't even had a peer review on this thing that you're about to do with this doggone group, these satellites that you're going to send up to blow this meteorite up. And then the guy just blows it off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You call me a businessman, just deflect it. The problem with this is with science, you've got to have peer-reviewed studies. In other words, somebody has to be able to replicate it.
That's exactly right.
Somebody has to be able to say, okay, we think this is going to work. We don't think this is going to work. Here's the study that we're doing on it now.
It was a failed trial.
No.
They scrapped it.
I know. Well, but they didn't want a peer review. That's why it says it wasn't peer review. Because he knew it would never pass.
It got emergency use authorization for experimental use because Fauci said so. It failed the clinical trial. In any other part of the context of the world in time and history, it would have literally been, dude, put this on the shelf. No more human trials. It's killing more people than are dying in a control group.
And there's a perfect example. And all of a sudden, they launch these satellites into space to destroy this meteorite coming to the planet to create this world-ending event. And he goes, well, we can handle up to a dozen of them or something blowing up. And since they launch a bunch of them, blow up. And they start to land a bunch of them, blow up. And he goes, oh, excuse me, I got to leave.
Yeah.
And he runs off and gets an escape shuttle. Because he knew at that point there was no way it was going to work. And then they all exploded and went off. The mistiming was wrong. And Leonardo DiCaprio tried to warn him about it. That's why he wanted to do peer review studies. And nobody would do it. And this is the same kind of nonsense they did to us with COVID. They decided to put a poison in us that would kill you in the hospital quicker than the doggone COVID
did. They did it all under the guise of fear. Stay at home. Don't take your vitamins. Don't talk to your friends. One of the main reasons, this is my theory, and a lot of people agree with me on this, one of the main reasons why they wanted all the businesses shut down, they wanted everybody to be isolated, they didn't want families to be together, is they didn't want direct-to-direct connection discussions with people that didn't have to be on their phones. They wanted to monitor and data log every conversation, and they did. Nobody went to bars or restaurants or places anymore to hang out, to converse, to go play pool. They wanted to sit there and make every single person's connection, every person's conversation recorded and monitored. Remember when they came in, they said, we need you to go ahead and accept the permissions on your new Apple update. Remember this? We're doing track and tracing. Anybody that you're around that pings your Wi-Fi, pings your Bluetooth on your phone with this track and tracing on here now, it's going to let you know that you've been around somebody that tested positive for COVID. For some odd reason, the American population seems to forget a lot of the stuff they keep doing to us. And we just keep going on and pretending like we're going to listen to these same people about our health care. Oh, yeah, these same people that told you this, that remdesivir was safe when it failed the clinical trial, and the same people that keep telling you, oh, by the way, your cholesterol needs to be down to 180 now because, well, statins are good for you. Actually, you need to be on statins at 30 now. Because you could be at cardiac risk when you're 80. So you need to be on preemptive statins now for the next 50 years. Same people. So when I bring you this, guys, I bring you the facts with it. Because now they're coming out and saying, oh, United States is providing experimental Ebola drug trial in Congo. Didn't we already do this with remdesivir? And then we got remdesivir? Why don't they send remdesivir over there? It works so good.
You know, it's so funny. They kill these doggone workers from the United Nations that go in there because they know that when they come in, everybody's going to start dying.
Well, they come in with experimental shots. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, this is what I've heard, I can't prove it, a lot of them said a lot of these shots are contaminated with viruses.
I'm going to say something to you guys. If you're black right now and you're listening to the show, this would make me mad.
Yeah.
Why are they picking on the blacks all the time? And why do they infect, you know, Africa with AIDS?
That was Bill Gates and Fauci, by the way.
Why'd they do that? Well, because they wanted to reduce the population of blacks. And you think, well, why would they do that? By the way, they hate you like they hate us. And so it's just a really weird
thing. They think everybody's goy. I had a video. I wasn't going to show it today.
Which one is it?
I didn't show it to you yet.
Why don't you let me watch it before you play it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a guy, and he has multiple clips from different rabbis and their personal discussions on what they think goy are and who they think we are and who they think they are. It's pretty irritating. I'll leave that for another show because it's Monday.
By the way, let's go back to the health article.
Yeah, I don't want to do that
before YouTube he pulls us down because we're bots. Incredible truth about a simple steak and sauerkraut diet that helped RFK lose 20 pounds. Experts reveal how you could slim down and banish stubborn belly fat, but warn of a major drawback. Well, let me say something to you. Sauerkraut is really healthy for you. It's a fermented food. It's got vinegar in it. It really helps with digestion. It's great. Now, a lot of people don't like sauerkraut. I happen to love sauerkraut because I was raised on it.
It's good stuff. It's good for your gut, too.
It's good for your gut. Really good for your gut. And so when you're eating steak and sauerkraut together, number one, you're getting a lot of protein. And number two, you're having a real low glycemic index. And number three, you're digesting the protein very well because of the vinegar and the sauerkraut. And you're having really good bowel movements because you've got so much fiber from the cabbage.
And the cabbage also helps to build gut microbes.
It's a great product, great program. So if you want to go on a simple steak and sauerkraut diet to lose weight, it's really not bad. And you don't have to use steak. You can use chicken. You can do anything. Fish.
Steak and sauerkraut sounds pretty good, though.
Steak and sauerkraut. But don't do pork and sauerkraut. That's what we used to always eat at the house, which is not something really healthy. Oh, by the way, another funny story. China and Japan are now coming out with smart self-driving toilets that follow you around the house. And you can summon the toilet. Toilet, come here. You look at me like, you guys are joking, right? No. The Chinese technology firm, Yuban, has created an autonomous toilet to help people with limited mobility. It aims to reduce the need for people to make their way to the toilet. Now, when I saw this, I started laughing. I thought, okay, whatever. But I'm going to say something to you. If you've got a person who's in assisted living and they're having a real problem with their bowels and they're running around having to wear a diaper all the time and they got to go when they got to go and they can't hold it, it's not a bad thing to have running around behind you. You think to yourself, well, it's kind of weird having a toilet chase you down the hallway. I didn't say it wasn't weird. I'm just saying that if you got to go, you got to go.
What happens when it goes rogue?
Oh, yeah. Then it's pretty cool. Then it walks. Then it drives itself over to the regular toilet when it's full.
Yeah.
It has a little hose that pops out. A little arm comes out, drops the hose into the regular toilet. It dumps the regular poop into the regular toilet, and then the arm reaches up and flushes the toilet.
Bro, it's Monday. Where are we going?
It's
pretty interesting technology.
The reason I'm talking about this is because if you're going to be eating steak and sauerkraut, there's a real high probability
that the toilet fall you around.
The toilet's going to be falling you around. So I thought you guys would get a big kick out of that one.
Here's an article here.
And now, when you stop laughing, you can realize that the surprising food that basically has more protein than a protein than a protein bar. So people are out there now, and they're basically eating food all the time, and they're now saying that basically a Parmesan cheese is a great snack. Now, I don't know about you guys. Parmesan cheese tastes pretty good, on a salad.
I don't know about eating cheese. I've eaten it before. I've taken blocks of it before. It's not that good on a block.
This is not Munster cheese.
No.
Munster cheese is pretty high fat. And it says it's got more protein than an egg yogurt or an egg. And it also has 2 grams more than the same serving of chicken breast or beef jerky and 3 times more grams than cheddar, the nation's favorite cheese. So if you want to walk around and eat a block, these people are over there in Europe walking around
Havarti.
This lady who wants to make her picture on this thing is sitting there with a 30-pound wheel of Parmesan in her purse.
In her purse?
Well, she has to go see a chiropractor.
Yeah.
You know, slump her over.
Don't eat a 30-pound wheel of cheese, guys.
But, I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, that's what she snacks around. She runs around snacking on Parmesan cheese all day. So I'm not going to recommend this one for anybody because, quite frankly, I think it's kind of silly. Well,
this article goes into detail. Protein and fiber actually triggers your body's own GLP-1. Just what he was talking about. The hormone that GLP-1 drug mimics is the one your body already produced with the right foods.
That's exactly right. Chicken and vegetables.
You don't possibly say that you can get your body burning fat, maintaining healthy blood sugar without the use of drugs? We say that? Is that possible?
One time I said on a radio show at WCIE that, your health depended on the food that you ate, and I got ridiculed and run out of the radio show on a rail, metaphorically, by a doctor named Dr. Reed, who said, I can't be saying stuff like health and diet affect each other. You think, wait a minute. did you? Yeah, he's gone dead now. I hope he made heaven. But the reality is that, you know, when you say things like this, wow, you know,
this lady was in her late 30s.
40 years ago.
Yeah, this lady was in her late 30s. The article's discussing her. There goes more detail. She was overweight. She's having issues with irritable bowel syndrome. She on a prescription for GLP-1 and basically didn't like it. They're getting side effects from it. Started losing weight, but didn't like it. So she's, after 6 months later, she switched to a food-first approach. More fiber, more protein, regular meals, small meals throughout the day. So I feel like somebody else says that.
I think we both said that.
She kept the weight off. The nausea and the constipation she experienced on the drug completely diminished. No injections were needed. The doctor was impressed.
But they want to put Gila Monster venom in you and paralyze your intestinal tract. That was great.
Makes an enormous amount of money. And remember, too, if you guys have already seen, the level of long-term side effects, especially with the thyroid and the pancreas now, the GLP-1s, multi-billion-dollar class action. I've covered it already. It's serious problem.
Oh, my friend who had the pancreatitis, and they put him in the hospital, they told him the treatment protocol was to give him IVs or antibiotics and also give him poison. Poison.
Poison.
Yeah, intravenously for his pancreas. And they didn't say the poison what it was. It's probably Gila Monster venom. But yeah, I mean, this is some weird stuff that you start to look at. You start going, why did they use all this venom? Well, they've been using venom for a really, really long time.
Oh, yeah, they've done that. And it says a study showed that prebiotic fibers and basically diets high in protein, good healthy protein, increase SCFA levels within weeks, enough to help feed colon cells and support satiety hormones such as GLP-1. Quantities are hard to map. There's no chart for exactly how much you're supposed to eat. However, for everyone, prebiotic-rich foods are among the most studied, including all these different stuff. Talks about onions, garlics, asparagus, fermented foods, cabbage. Funny you just brought that up. And it goes into detail here as well about eating high-quality protein, eating small meals, letting your body break the food down properly. One of the biggest issues that I run into a lot of people, and I try to help as far as with diet and exercise, is portion control. It's a big one people have problems with, because a lot of times people go, well, I don't eat that much. I only have like 2 meals a day. But then I ask them, okay, just write down what you eat for the last 3 days. And they'll have these meals, and there are these large, large, copious amounts of food in one sitting. It massively stresses the gut out when you have a 2,000 or 3,000 calorie meal in one sitting, and that's all you eat for the day. That's one of the reasons why people have such a hard time burning body fat when they eat like that. Insulin goes to the roof because you have so much calories in your system, trying to bring your blood sugar back down. The body can only process, in most cases, depending on your body weight and size, anywhere between about 300 to 500 calories in one sitting. That's about average.
That's exactly right.
About average. Now, you got something about high metabolism.
More than that, you're going to release insulin. You're going to store it. You're going to store it as fat.
Unless you're like, you know, Brock Lesnar, and, you know, you're 6'4", 290 pounds.
Is he that tall?
He's pretty big. I saw the thing on the other day. He's getting older. He's big back in the day, man. WWE and Goldberg.
Giant neck, man.
Brock Lesnar. When you're on that, you're 280, 290, you probably process a little more calories. But I'm average on it, though. So, again, make sure that's the easiest thing to do, guys. Get your portion control, change your diet, add in the supplements. One of the best things you can do is use the Fit Food or the GHI Cleanse as a meal replacement throughout the day if you start having really bad hunger pains. It gives you the protein you need. It's helping to support your metabolism. It's staving off that hunger, and it's also giving you the nutrients, especially when you throw it in with like the GHI or the purple sticks. Now, I had somebody make a comment here. I want to switch back to this on YouTube. So I had somebody send me a comment. I was trying to pull it up here a second ago covering this. And they said, oh, wow, got a lot of stuff on here. Hey, everybody. Somebody made a comment.
You got to give our audience a chance to warm up. They got to know we're live.
No, they're warmed up. Great way to start the week. Healthy dose of Ted and Austin Brower Show. Chess, man, appreciate that. Brizzle, Ralph. Oh, Ralph said it's going to be 106 in the Great Lakes this week with heat index. Good luck with that one. Another guy in here. Rick said, during onset, non-COVID critical patients who went to the ER were triaged as non-care protocol and sent on the end of their life pathway. It was a killing field. You're right about that. They did. If you weren't a COVID patient, you went to the hospital, you pretty much got sat in the corner somewhere, and they, okay, peasant, figure out what you're going to do here. I'll let you guys, I'll put it up here. You guys want to see me? You want to see that? Hello? Hey, Beth. Hey, Samuel. DDTP. Ship, longtime listener since 16-17. You two are amazing, even better. Ultimate multiple products is a staple HGH stimulant I can afford. There's a Wi-Fi one right now. Any recommendations for relieving night seizures? You have to contact us directly on that one. I don't have anything on that.
Now, are you talking about night seizures? Or are you talking about being a demon attack?
Or night tremors? Or just waking
up? Or you're talking, yeah, let us know exactly.
Send us an email on that one. Because I don't know much about that one. Okay. Also wondering what blood markers we should measure to capture D3B vitamins when you do blood work. I recommend getting full spectrum everything. Get your D3, get your thyroid stimulating hormone, get your B12, get everything. Do your research on it. If your doctor won't order those panels for you, you may have to do it on your own, but quite frankly, get another doctor.
That's right.
You shouldn't have to ask to have all the stuff tested.
I've got another question for you.
Okay.
Okay, this is an interesting article, and it's a new supplement that's being used. It's a natural product called Shilajit.
Shilajit.
Yeah.
It's our Testo Plus.
Okay.
I already take it.
Oh, you already take
Fantastic.
It. Fantastic. Now, what I'm going to say this is this. If you're going to try to
got to get clean stuff, though.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. You got to get ours has the highest purity, assay tested, no heavy metals, no toxins. 80 to 90% of the market on Shilajit is contaminated with a lot of toxins in it.
It also has rat droppings in it.
Yes. Well, it's because what it is, it's basically mud and stuff that's accrued in these volcanic areas, and it comes out. But really, really good nutrients.
It's full of heavy metals and rodent droppings.
Yeah,
So that's why you guys like tar.
The main supplier that we get for ours in Orlando are unbelievably strict about that. They've had numerous batches come in, honestly, with you guys, and failed batch testing. They have to scrap it.
But that's what I was going to say, because I knew that was in our Testo Plus. It's a great product, but you got to get it clean, guys. You don't want a bunch of
it's really good. Because there's some places that sell the straight raw tar. And I'm not opposed to it.
No, I am. You don't know what's in it.
The problem is, yeah. Well, no, you need to have full papers on it if you're buying straight Shilajit tar. I mean, you need to have a full documented third-party assay.
Test for rodent droppings, Austin.
Well, it's going to be any contamination with fecal matter. You know what I mean? So you got to really do some research on that and do it correctly.
By the way, now we're going to go to a funny story.
This is the Testo Plus, by the way, if you guys have seen that. It's clinically tested Prima V Shilajit, which is a patented one, which is unbelievably stringent. And it's got the Longjet for you, or the Tongat Alley, as you call it, supports testosterone production. This product is incredible. However, my only caveat with you, watch your attitude on it. It will increase testosterone very, very quickly. It will have a tendency to make you more aggressive in situations that don't call for it if you're not used to elevated testosterone. Only caveat. So if you want to be really strong, you want to be really aggressive, you want to have really high testosterone, this product will do it. Just be mindful of your demeanor.
We're not making any claims to help support healthy testosterone production. That's it.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Unlucky in love, blame your DNA. Genetics influence who is the most likely to experience a relationship breakdown, study reveals. Wow, look at that. Oh, here's another interesting. Read more. Sex lives improve when men do their share of household chores. I'm not even going to comment on that. Scientists have discovered that the genes you inherit may influence whether you're more likely to split from your partner or stay together. Research has found that certain genetic traits link to higher education. That means you're a Jezebel from the pit. You've had a higher education. Not that all of the women who do that are, but sometimes these women want to run corporations and they want to be a boss lady. And it gets rough with guys and boss ladies. God, I shouldn't have said that. God, I'm going to get emails on that. Now, some boss ladies are really nice. Problem is, I've never met one.
The biggest thing, and I'm just going to say this, gosh, we're going to email. Why'd you have to go here?
It's the article. I know you have to say that.
If you're male or female, either one, if you're running business, if you're operating businesses, if you've got employees, you can't operate out of emotion. You have to base everything on facts and business. That's a big, hard thing for some people to separate. They get emotional. They get this. They're in a bad mood today. You can't operate a successful business like that at all. Some guys can't do it. Some women can't do it. I'm going to leave it there. I'm just going to get myself in trouble to keep talking.
This article keeps digging me deep.
You're going to dig a hole in that one.
I'm going to stop for a second. We're dealing with epigenetics here is what they're talking about as far as relationships and whether certain genes are going to express themselves.
And purple sticks will really help your mood out if you're having any mood issues, too.
Better than coffee with the cortisol.
That's exactly right.
And I've got a friend of mine from Finland, and she said all the men there basically follow 40 feet behind their women.
I didn't think Finland was like that.
I didn't either. Well, remember, they were on a communist rule for a long, long time. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to be step on some toes from our listeners in Finland, which, since there are only 5 million people, we can't offend too many people. Finland's... I've been to Finland. I've been to Helsinki. It was raining. It was raining ice cold. It was awful weather. But I remember... But the thing about it is, remember, they were under communist rule. Now, remember what happened under communism and under Stalin, under Lenin, and the rest of them. I'm an alpha male. I'm grabbing a gun, and you ain't taking over my country. Okay, you're dead.
Well, the farmers fought back.
No, but no, you're dead. Okay? So now you take all the leaders and all the men that basically had some testosterone and had leadership skills. Guess what? Let's kill them all. So now you get a whole generation of beta males reproducing for 100 years. Okay? And now you have a whole generation of beta males in Finland.
It's not just the reproduction, man. It's the indoctrination from the middle standpoint. Look what they've done in the United States, too.
Well, that's feminism.
Same thing. Yeah, you beat down a certain genre of individuals, and you beat them down. You tell them that they're bad. You tell them that they need to shame themselves. You tell them they need to be embarrassed for who they are. You tell them that everything they do is misogynistic. Anything they do, including breathing, is offensive to everyone else. And after a while, you have two or three generations of that. They go, gosh, it's horrible being me. No, be a man. Put your chest out, say it like a man, and own it. There's nothing wrong with being a man or a woman. Just don't be a tranny. Pick one.
I had a friend of mine, great friend of mine. He was married to this lady who was a boss lady who was an attorney.
Yeah.
And she used to work 70, 80 hours a week. Unbelievably mean. He finally told me she was basically diagnosed with being borderline personality disorder. She was a nightmare. And they were married about 10 years. Finally, he said, enough of this. I'm out. And he quit. He had enough of it. And I'm not saying that everybody who basically is a boss lady has got borderline personality disorder. But what I will say is this. If a person is really, really dedicated to their career, their profession, and they're a boss lady, there's a real high probability it's going to spill over into their personal life. Am I right or wrong, Austin?
You just get a backhoe out now on this show.
I know.
Today,
but no, I'm listening. Listen to me.
You're absolutely right.
I went out with this girl a couple of years ago. It was like a one-day wonder, like 30 minutes and done. And she was basically a boss lady over there in St. Pete. And she was in charge of all these men, and she was real bossy. She was from another country. And, you know, she was okay looking. She wasn't that good looking, but she thought she was all this and all that. And then all she was critical the whole time we were together for the few minutes we were there. And I thought to myself, that's not somebody I'm going to be with long term because I can't deal with this. Now, the same thing is true with guys. And that's where the term misogynistic comes from, Austin. Mm-hmm. When the guy's in charge and he's having to run a company and do things that he doesn't want to do, and he's having to delegate and responsibility and all that, you're just misogynistic. You're telling me what to do. Well, maybe I'm giving you some suggestions that are actually accurate. You know, like if you know that you want to drink wine every night and you're getting the gut on you, whether you're male or female, and you know you're going to increase the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and all these other diseases, including breast cancer for women, you know, there's a high probability you may not want to drink as much. You don't tell me I can't drink. Both men and women say that. And my response is always this. And then I always love this one. Well, Jesus' first miracle was turn water to wine. And that was about probably 5% alcohol. They did it primarily to sterilize the water to make sure there weren't any amoebas in it.
And there's clarification with that. Say it was 15% alcohol. Say it was, right? It was a wedding. It was a one event he did that at a wedding.
Never mentioned again.
He didn't sit there and say, well, I'm making all this wine so all of us can drink it every single nine party. There's no reference to that. It was a giant wedding festival. People were celebrating. They were drinking. That's fine. Cool. Get over it. There's no other reference to him doing that and doing it for a daily usage. Let's clarify that, too.
Now I'm going to stop for 1 second because when I was a kid, you know, we had these cottages behind the bar, and it was like a fish camp, and my mom sold wine. Now, anybody who bought wine, we just called them a wino. We had one guy who lived in cottage number 7, whose name was Randy, and he was a wino. He always had at least 1 or 2 fifths of wine a day. The guy next door to us, his name was Paul and Roxy, and he basically was a wino. He'd come over, get a couple bottles of wine every day. My mom would give it to him. He'd go home with it and get drunk on the wine. Now, let me say something to you. Back when I was a kid, drinking wine was not considered something favorably looked upon. Now, you think, wait, I'm over in France. They like, well, I don't give a crap about France and Paris and the unbelievably mean people that live in Paris are the ones who just send you to the wrong airports on purpose. I have no interest in those people over there, all right? It's awful. Paris is a nightmare. I mean, it's got a bunch of Muslims living everywhere in tents and, you know, on pallets. It's horrible. You should go there one time. It's awful.
Don't go there. It's not even worth it anymore.
I took your sister over there about 10 years ago. She was all about going there, all about Paris.
Well, everybody, you see all these stupid films.
Well, from the 50s.
All these romantic films and all this stuff. So
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I want to go. I told her free time. I said, Svan, it's not going to be what you think it is.
No, she's got her little beret on. She's walking around. Oh, yeah. And she goes, who are all these people on the sidewalk?
Well, they're staring at me. Oh, those guys are eyeballing me everywhere. Don't get near them. They're dragging their tent.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's bad.
No, it was, and then finally she said, I don't want to be here anymore. So we left. So I'm not picking on Paris, but the point, yeah, I am actually. But the point is, it's just one of those things that, you know, well, the French people, you know, they drink more wine, they have lower heart disease. No, the French people have really good food. I got to give them credit for that, all right? Especially in the countryside. And they don't use trans fats or hydrogenated
oils. All omega-3 fats.
No,
olive oil, avocado, fish.
So rather than looking at it from the fact that that's what they eat and that's why they're healthy, they got to say it's because of the alcohol. It's a total lie. They also have a real high problem with alcoholism in France. And then that means increase the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis, liver, alcoholism, but you don't have the heart disease because you're not eating all the other junk. So they say, well, you got to drink so you can be healthy. It's a complete lie. They even said in that study that was done, if you don't drink, don't starve because the side effects are too bad.
This is why I brought the topic up the other day about nicotine and dip and smoking and patches
don't
and
start.
And all this stuff. I told you guys, I said, if you're using nicotine products, if you smoke, if you dip, and you're trying to come off of them, and you're trying to use this stuff as basically a deterrent because you can't stop cold turkey. Cool story, you're a grown adult, but trying to sit around and pretend that using nicotine pouches when you're 16 years old because it's going to be a health benefit for you, it's complete BS. I've used those products before for years when I was younger. There is no health benefit to them. Mm-hmm. Basically, high doses of nicotine are basically a vasoconstrictant. They tried to do a trial where they gave people like 6 milligram nicotine patches, and they had more energy and more cognitive functioning.
Stimulant.
It's a stimulant. You know, duh. It's like, oh, we did a clinical trial. We gave them 2 cups of coffee, and they were basically sharper and faster. Well, yeah, no, duh. Well, let's look at all the other side effects that can occur with using nicotine on a daily basis from a young age long term and all the other factors that stimulate to get it in there. It was a controlled stimulation. They didn't have anybody using pre-workout or coffee or high cortisol. They did this trial to see what people are going to do to make them faster. Cool story. Don't start it if you don't use it. It's not beneficial to you. I got a comment here on the show. I want to cover this. Guys, Rick said, Wi-Fi sensing. He said the new home Wi-Fi routers have new tech built into them. That's why they've been swapping them out over last year to track movement in your room to room. Even more shockingly, the tech can distinguish who's inside and what they're doing. And basically, it does this by pinging everyone's phones all the time and tracks your movement, tracks your behavior. And then when, of course, you have your apps on, your permissions, like I tell you to turn off, it listens on the microphone. It actually can designate now, they're saying, I saw the same article on here, designate who's in what room and who's saying what inside of a house.
They're not building data centers to store your family photos.
They're not. They're not doing it so you can do a better rendering of your new project on your back porch.
Well, since we've already seemed to make everybody angry this morning, ladies, if you're a boss lady, you're great. Guys, if you're a boss guy, you're great. Just be nice to everybody, period. Now, here's the next group of people we're going to offend. Tens of thousands now march in the first Budapest Pride parade since Viktor Orban was voted out. How do I start on this? Well, he wouldn't allow this. He wouldn't allow the gays to do that. Tens of thousands of people gathered at soaring temperatures in Hungary's capital on Saturday to celebrate the 31st annual Budapest Pride. The first such LGBTQ march is the former Prime Minister Orban, who had sought to ban the event, was ousted in the April election. What's interesting about this, he also kept the immigrants out of Hungary. I was there. I was in Budapest. And, you know, he had barbed wire set up at the border control passages.
He had very strict immigration rules there.
He had tanks set up there. He had tanks and barbed wire. He had military stations there.
That's a deterrent. You know, when you're like, you know what, I'm going to go sneak in this country. And you show up to the border, and you got Concerta wire. You know, Abram tanks sitting there. I don't know if that's the country that I'm going to go sneak into to go try to have
my
way.
They went around it to get into you know, Merkel's Germany. Saturday's Pride March, I'm a little more than a year after Orban's nationalist populist government. And I'm going to say this again. You know, I think we need to have a heterosexual march in downtown Auburndale. So we can probably get a pretty good crowd, you know. And
straight power.
But the problem with this is that, you know, we can't do that because that's going to be misogynistic.
Well, no, it's idiotic, man. Why do you have to run around and display to everyone who you're having sex with? I'm just going to be real candid with you. Why does anybody care about your sexual preference and what you do in your home? Really don't. That's why there's no heterosexual marches. Not because we can't do one. I guarantee you if I wanted to rally up a straight march, I could do it probably within a month. Why? Why do I care? It's nobody's business. I have 50 million other productive things I could do this year besides have a straight pride march. Really, a lot of stuff I could do. I don't understand why these people have so much time on their hands to display who they have sex with.
Well, Orban basically wanted to cancel it all, so they're showing everybody they're going to show it no matter what.
Who cares? That's the problem I have with it. Is the more credence you give these people, the more publicity they want. Let me put it this way. If you feel like you've got to go walk down the street with a giant rainbow hat on your head and declare that you're a homosexual, you are a true pathetic human being with nothing else going on in your life. Productive people that have things going on with goals, drive. No, they do. Drive, goals, things they want to accomplish. Don't have time to walk up and down the street with a rainbow hat on and declare you're gay. I don't care if you're gay. I'm happy if that makes you happy. Quite frankly, it's not my problem. Do your thing. Have no qualm against you. Don't shove it in my face. Don't want my kids to deal with it. And do something more productive. My gosh.
Mancow was so funny. He goes, I could care less if he's gay.
I really don't care. I do not care.
But don't make me like it. And don't force me to like it.
And don't tell me
I have to endorse it.
Yes, dude. And don't tell me you got to sit there. You're more important than me because your sexual preference. That's what this is about, right? I'm more important than you, so I'm going to display it in your face that I'm having a Pride Month, and I'm going to display it and run around.
Remember what Sean said.
Do your own thing in your house, man.
Remember my pastor friend. He said this. He said, if you're doing something contrary to what the Word of God says, okay, which, you know, the gay stuff is contrary. Now, a lot of them will say, well, no, it's not. When you show you Scripture, whatever, knock yourself out. But if you're doing something that you know is not right, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, whether you're going out and using drugs or whatever it is, there's two ways you have to deal with it. You have to repent and ask God to forgive you and stop doing it, or you have to knuckle in and say, hey, yeah, I'll do whatever I want to do. You can't tell me what to do, and get mad about it and go
there
do
you
a
go.
Gay pride event. So you got to pick what you got to do, one or two. That's it.
You know, I talked to a guy a while back. I'd known him for a while, on and off. Good guy. He ended up being gay. I talked to him about it all the time. I asked him. I said, well, you know, why? I said, you don't really come across. He's gay. I won't really pick up on it. He goes, I don't need to display that to anybody, Austin. He goes, I don't go to the gay pride. He goes, quite frankly, those gay pride events are pretty gay. I start laughing. He goes, what do you need? He goes, I have too many other things I'm doing. I do my own thing in my own life, and that's it. It's my business. And I went,
yeah, I know who you're talking about. It's funny because I said the same thing to him. He shows up in a lifted truck with air horns.
Yeah.
And he's carrying a gun.
Yeah.
He's not walking gay. He's not talking gay.
It's just kind of Brokeback Mountainish. Whatever.
Well, no.
But he even said that. He goes, this whole displaying and got to go pride and run around and party. He goes, it's pretty gay, dude. He goes, you have a very, very low understanding of productive value and time. That's what you're doing with your time.
You know what I said to him? I said, you're the absolute worst gay I've ever seen. I said, that's fine. I said, you don't even act gay.
No.
But you know, the thing about it is you got to respect him for the fact that he's not trying to push it.
No, he doesn't display it. It doesn't put in front of anybody. As far as I'm concerned, it's not my problem what you do in your own house. One thing I want to cover here, too, guys, I updated this on the site yesterday. We got a new photo. Where'd it go on here? The Fit Food. We had a little issue with this earlier in the week. It wasn't coming up right on here. It is now updated. You could do chocolate, all vanilla, two chocolate, one vanilla, two vanilla, one chocolate on the three-pack of the Fit Food. I want to update you guys on that. I like doing little updates on the show, and you guys can watch this, too. This is pretty cool. This is the new front page of the podcast platform. Boom. We're updating more and more now. Latest episode. You can search now keywords right here. Keywords to search over 2,800 episodes. See that search bar?
Ooh, I like that.
That's pretty cool. By the way, that was not easy to do.
Oh, by the way, from soft justice to generational welfare, why America's moral collapse can only be fixed with brutal common sense. This is a pretty good article.
There you go.
Now, I'm not saying that everything in this thing is right, because some of this stuff is, you know, a little bit pretty extreme, right? But he's got some good points that he made in this. And he goes, from a third of Americans on the government dole to drunk drivers with multiple arrests to owners of vicious dogs getting slaps on the wrist when their dogs attack, the signs of moral crisis are seemingly everywhere. The reality is in America 2026, we have a crisis of responsibility. He is right about this. It's somebody else's fault. Always somebody else's fault. More precisely, we have a crisis of consequences. Simply put, almost no one is ever held responsible for anything, and most feel like they have the right to everything and anything. In a country of 350 million people, there are more than 100 million living off the taxes of others. He's right. Those are the real numbers. From welfare to food stamps to housing assistance and more, America has become a place where not working and living off taxpayers is not only normal, but a right. There are families who have lived on welfare for generations, and no one feels any responsibility to work or provide for their family. America could have been easily the vanguard of Western civilization once again by simply acting morally with common sense. But politically, the challenge is this. Basically, he starts talking about, I'm not going to go into that again. I've already covered that too much. I'm going to get yelled at again. Who do you think became the pro? No, I can say that either. Oh, I'm not going to say that either. He's talking about boss ladies. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. How many times have you, how many times have you seen when a brute attacks a couple and the man defending them begins to beat the hell out of the bad guy, and only for the woman who is trying to restrain her man, and as a consequence, they both get beaten to a pulp because the woman tries to stop the guy from defending her. I've seen that, by the way. Think of that on a civilization scale. It's no wonder that, this is funny. I got to read this. Think of it from a civilization scale. It's no wonder that three women, here he lists three women, Barack Obama, I love this woman guy, Angela Merkel, and Ursula von der Leyen are most responsible for the West being overrun by third world invaders. Yeah, and he goes on to say, so what would a moral crisis run with the common sense look like? There would be a justice system that worked to protect citizens. And across the board, three strikes and you're out rule for violent criminals. We have that in Florida, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why a lot of guys, after the second time in prison, they move out of the state.
They move.
They hide. There was a guy I knew, Danny. He went to high school with us. Locked up once, locked up twice, sort of. Went to Mississippi. Done.
That's usually with felonies.
Well, he had two felonies. Yeah. And he goes, and he says, employ the death penalty for crimes that are appropriate, like murder or the rape of children. I agree with that.
Epstein files don't like that last one, brother.
Nope. Drunk drivers spend a minimum of a decade in prison. I don't agree with that. I don't think so. I think a year in prison, if they hurt somebody, especially they kill somebody.
If you got vehicular homicide with alcohol involved, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. A DUI, going to prison for 10 years because you get a DUI.
For teens involved in street takeovers or rampaging through stores, not only should they be arrested in jail, but their parents should be held responsible. I agree with that.
If they're a minor.
If they're a minor, under the age of 18.
If they're a minor. If they're not, if they're over the 18, they're on their own.
I remember I had a friend of mine. He had a daughter one time. She's 17 years old. And she got arrested being somewhere she shouldn't be with a boyfriend. And they came to the guy's house. And they beat on the door at 3:30 in the morning. Boom, 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 boom. Blue lights on all around the house. Banging on the doors with flashlights. The guy gets up and goes, what are you doing? And they said, your daughter's been caught out so-and-so doing so-and-so. The guy gets up and goes, you've got to be kidding me. So he has to go to the crime scene, right? He gets to the crime scene. He gets out of the truck. And he goes, oh, I need to go meet this 21-year-old boy that's with my 17-year-old daughter. Now, you know where that was going, right? And all of a sudden, the cop grabs him. Says, if you go over there, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
Because we know what you're going to do. Austin knows the story. It's true.
Well.
And then what happened is So then the daughter's in the back of the squad car crying like you're unbelievable. Finally, she gets in the dad's car, and the cop says to the guy, goes, by the way, if she was 18, which is happening in a month, we would never have gotten you involved.
That's exactly right.
So you got to remember something, parent. When you got a child under the age of 18, they're going to come looking for you if something goes wrong.
Especially if your vehicle is in your name and they're driving it under your insurance. I'm just giving you a heads up on that's going to happen before. There's one article I want to cover here. This is a topic that gets a little bit of coverage, but a lot of people don't talk about a lot of the issues with it. Lipedema, this is the abnormal fat buildup, often mistaken for excessive weight gain. And it's talking about the fat that starts building up around legs and arms, abnormal fat inflammation, fat buildup.
I saw this at Publix yesterday.
You see it a lot. And it's interesting as it says, essentially, we start having these disproportionate features where, like, arms and legs start getting really, really fatter than other parts of the body. Now, let me discuss this right here for a second. One of the things they try to say in here is they said genetics, 60 to 80% of people reporting affected family members, they have genes that can be associated with this. That may be partially or probably true with some factors on it. However, one thing that I found, again, don't throw any more books at us. Don't be sending any more emails.
Oh, this show is probably going to get banned.
In most cases, and it's just fact, because I've dealt with this topic a lot, especially even just weight gain in general. A lot of the times, the reason why family members look the same way as other family members when it comes to body composition is, drum roll please, they eat the same food.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
Okay, let's do the math here.
Mama's fat, daughter's
fat. Dad eat the same food. The kids eat the same food. When they get older, they eat the same food because grandparents are making the same food. The grandkids eat the same food. And it's generational obesity that doesn't stop because nobody is willing to address the underlying problem. What am I eating? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? And I know people love to blame their genetics on every single bad thing that ever happens for them. Well, I'm sick because of this, my genetics. I'm sick because of this. Well, no, quite frankly, you told me the last three things you've eaten is Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's today.
You imagine
might have a small impact on
you. Imagine what you're doing to your gut microbiome, and it drives to your brain.
Okay, so this ties in exactly what I said. They said one of the main reasons here, the emerging research is showing gut health is causing this lipidemia. It's this inflammation, fat buildup in certain areas, and it says the intestinal permeability, referred to as leaky gut, allows bacterial toxins to enter the bloodstream and promote low-grade inflammation. The group of researchers proposed that these bacterial toxins accumulate with lower body fat with a high fatty diet, primarily consisting of omega-6 fats. Processed like omega-6, like soybean oil, canola oil, contribute to inflammation, abnormal fat growth, and vascular changes that exacerbate this. And it talks about the different types here that extend hips to ankles, arms. And it says some of the few things you can do here is functional medicine. You can look at hormone testing. You can obviously look at like your insulin, your A1Cs. Quite frankly, you should already be looking at this stuff if you're starting to get sick.
The problem is there's no good way. Like liposuction really doesn't work for this.
It doesn't. But the problem is the biggest thing to talk about here is trying to catch it before it gets severe. And a lot of times what happens is people just don't bother to pay attention.
They don't care. They really don't care.
They don't. And if that's what your goal is, okay. But I can only do so much. It says follow anti-inflammatory eating patterns. Extremely important. Exercise, especially water-based exercise and physical or occupational therapy. This is to save the joints if you're extremely obese. Manual lymphatic drainage. This is actually a really good one, composed with low inflammatory foods.
Undergo complex decongestive therapy, manual lymphatic drainage. That's through massage.
Yep.
Followed by compression wrapping to get all that fluid out.
Correct.
Oh, what a mess.
Practice good skin care, regular moisturizing, protect skin barrier. This can get a very severe problem. That's why I want to cover today, because I have gotten this question multiple times. So I answered on the show to make it a little bit simpler. But my biggest key factor is a lot of this lymphatic drainage, getting inflammatory markers down, getting the gut barrier healthy again, guys, getting GHI cleanse in there, and stop eating the same food that's causing the problems. Lipidemia doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one morning and you're up 50 pounds.
No, I met this lady with a publish yesterday. I mean, she was that wide. Yeah. The thing I couldn't understand is why she was wearing spandex. I'm sorry. I'm like, why spandex? I mean, why can't you just, what is that? Maybe that's all they can fit into, bud.
I'm not making a comment there. I'm trying.
Oh, by the way, staggering amounts of, I shouldn't have said that. Staggering amounts of fentanyl hit streets as the DEA watch.
I covered this on Hagman. She did it too. Yep.
Staggering amounts of fentanyl hit the streets as DEA watched and took no action to the record.
150,000 fentanyl pills they let release back into the market in New Mexico and did nothing because they wanted to find the bigger fish as they kept catching people. You know, 150,000 tablets of fentanyl is enough to kill like millions of people. They let it go back in. Oh, you know, didn't Eric Holder do this under Obama? Oh, we're going to use ATF to let straw purchases run 2,500 Barrett 50 caliber weapons and automatic machine guns in the Mexican drug cartel because we're going to find out who's got them. We're going to bust them. Oh, whoopsie. We lost all the machine guns. Oh, until we got a Border Patrol agent that gets gunned down with an AK that was directly ran from ATF to the cartel and ended up its way back in Arizona to kill one of our agents.
Notice how that story got covered up so fast.
Oh, dude. I
got to say something. That 50 caliber Barrett with that 10 magazine, 10 round magazine is one of the finest weapons I've ever shot. That thing's accurate to 2,000 yards. It's unbelievable.
Close range. They got that doggone cartel video. I've sent it to you. The cartel video release. These guys are in this up armored F-250. They got all these AKs and belt feds. Guys got the short barrel 50 cal with iron sights on it. CQB, 20 round drum.
That's loud, boy.
You know, God, that round's effective at close range. That round's
effective at 1,000 meters.
1,000 meters out. But no, that was benefits of Eric Holder and ATF. So when you see the cartel running around with truckloads full of 50 cal, best believe one of those serial numbers probably comes back to a U.S. straw purchase with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, God loves you a lot. And grace is sufficient for you. You're never going to earn your way to heaven. You're not perfect. By the way, you're not perfect. Neither am I. And one more thing. You're not God. Neither am I. There is a God. Always remember that. And there is Jesus, the author, the finisher, the creators of the heavens and the earth. And through him, all things are held together. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Hope you enjoyed church yesterday. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. And thank you for a little bit of leniency today on some of the things we said, because it got kind of
wild. You guys will get over it.
Love you guys.
We're going to cover all kinds of stuff on this show. Love it, hate it. Nobody's going to agree on everything. But one thing I do agree on is everybody staying healthy, strong, sharp, smart, protecting yourselves and your family. Keep it up, my friends. Ultimate Caps on sale. Be sure to check out the other products on here. We have different kits going on. If you guys need anything, email us. The YouTube chat's been up and running. I haven't checked as much as I should have today. I'll try to be more attentive to that tomorrow. You guys have a fantastic evening. I'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys. Thanks for your support.